This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Hello there. This is episode number 80 with Talty Dan. Dan's been on the show before, and it was great. I had a good time talking to him. Last time we did it in the old studio at Ethan's place. This time we did it in a room at Parlor Skis. So I hope there's not too much background noise. There was a band like starting to get ready to go on by the end of the episode. Definitely started to get distracted for both of us. But nonetheless, it was an awesome chance to sit down and talk with Dan, see what he's been up to, see what his summer's been like. Dude's been doing some shit for sure. So yeah, I had a great time talking to him. I always do. He's a great dude. He's a very unique character in the ski industry. He's just a great dude. He's just a genuinely good person. So I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy the episode. Obviously, anything you're looking for Talty Dan related can be found on the internet at Talty Dan, arsenicanywhere.com. You can find all the info there. You can find all of his stuff at Arsenic Anywhere or at Talty Dan. Before we get into the episode, just a few quick things. I don't know what noise I just made with my face while I was trying to say a few quick things. First thing, I really appreciate everyone that's left a review on iTunes. It's been huge. That makes the show grow. It helps other people find the show when they're looking for ski podcasts, they're looking for bike podcasts, they're looking for outdoor industry podcast. So those of you on iTunes, if you could leave a review for the show, 5 stars, and then give us your thoughts if you can. If not, just a rating is fine. Second thing, be sure to follow us on the gram. It's just at Out of Podcast. YouTube is, it's all out. It's at all at Out of Podcast. Except for Facebook. Facebook, I think, is out of the Out of Bounds podcast, which is the official show title. What was the third thing? Oh, yeah. Third thing. Sponsors. So we got one new sponsor for this week, and it's actually a friend of mine. Brian Smuda has started a company called Season Pass Sales. He's been doing it for a while now. Seen some good success with it. Reached out to me last week and was like, hey, like, I'm looking to do some promos for the show. And I was happy to help. Smuda sells season passes. If you couldn't tell from Season Pass Sales, you can go to seasonpasssales.com, use promo code BSmuda. There are upcoming pass deadlines. The next one, I believe, is December 18th. You can get your peak pass. You can get your drifter pass. All that stuff, any of the passes that are still available will be on seasonpasssales.com. He has all the links. He has all the information. It's nice to see. So, again, for those of you looking for something kind of consolidated, because this has been like the number one question when people are asking about passes, and I don't know why people ask me about pass stuff. It's I don't really have an opinion on it. I think you get the pass that makes the most sense for your area. Like, I got an Icon, sounds like I'm going to get an Epic, and then there's all of them, basically. If you're the college age, Drifter Pass is great. If you're living in the Mount Snow area, the Hunter area, those kind of places, either way, go to seasonpasssales.com, use promo code BSmuda. Let them know that we sent you if you care. If you don't care, then just order a pass. Just get it done. Be Smuda. You can also find them on Instagram at Season Pass Sales, and Smuda's Instagram is at Be Smuda. Check it out. Smuda's a good dude. He's been in the industry forever. I've known him since I was a kid, basically. He's worked at the shop. He's done all kinds of things. Used to kill we used to do this rail jam event at a park locally in West Springfield. And the way that dude put together an event like that was pretty crazy. He's an awesome dude. He's definitely a character in the ski industry. And I'm happy to be working with him. So once again, seasonpasssales.com, promo code BSmuda. The next sponsor is Sowatch Hemp. Sowatch has been a sponsor since pretty early on here. They are one of my favorite sponsors. They make some of the best CBD products that I've ever used, and I've tried a bunch of different ones now. They make everything from the soft gels to the tinctures to the salves to everything. My favorite, like I said, is the rub-ons. It's been huge for me. Like, if you have knee issues, if you have soreness issues, if you have swelling and inflammation issues, that stuff helps a ton. Put it on however you want. I tend to go into a sauna or whatever and then put it on afterwards or after a hot shower. That tends to be the best time for me to put it on, because then your pores are kind of opened up. It seems to work the best for me. But you can put it on at any time. It helps a ton. It's decreased inflammation for me and my knees and all of my ailments. Tinctures are great too. Take that stuff daily. And I will say, like, you don't really notice a difference with CBD stuff until you start getting it in your system. Once you have it in your system consistently for a few weeks, it seems to work even better than right away. So you can go to sowatch.co, use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS to save 15% off on your purchase of some of the best CBD products on the planet. Not to mention, they're a Colorado company. Support those guys where you can. Sowatch.co, promo code OUTOFBOUNDS. You can also find them on Instagram at sowatch_hemp. All right. Without further ado, here is episode number 80. It's crazy. 80 with Talty Dan. Be sure to give him a follow on the gram. Be sure to give us a follow on the gram if you don't already. Let us know what you think of this episode. You can shoot me an email. It's adam@outofpodcast.com. Slide into my DMs on any platform, and I will be sure to answer you. Talk to you soon, and enjoy the episode. Thanks. Well, who are you? This is your second appearance. I think people will know. Some people will know. Some people are new. So who are you? What do you do?
So for those who don't already know me, my name is Dan. I'm known as Tall T Dan. And as far as what I do, I just try to have fun with my friends and, you know, do it on snow as much as possible.
And you also own a clothing company?
Yes, I own and operate a clothing brand called Arsenic Anywhere.
Okay. How long have you been doing Arsenic?
10 years, dude.
Shit.
Yeah, that's exciting. I've been excited about that. It was 10 years officially in September, but this is like the 10th season for me, so I'm just letting that feeling sink in all year.
What are you going to do?
I have a capsule collection that I'm working on specific to that, but otherwise, I'm just believing in myself an extra bit, because there's 10 years is cool because there's a word for 10 years. It's a decade, you know?
That makes it cooler. Yeah, for sure.
For me, that is definitely making it cooler. So I'm just stepping things up.
I think that's like with anything. I think when people go to be a doctor, like, part of it is that they get the right doctor in front of their name. Like, it's also like that you get to go to school and you get to help people. But like, one of the perks is that there's a name for
Boy
it.
Boy Scouts have badges for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. People get trophies. Everybody wants to win a chip, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to be a similar thing. So you're not throwing yourself like a big party for your 10th?
I throw myself a party every year.
Okay, cool. Great.
Like, it's different. I had an event in Burlington this year. This was my third year doing an event for my fall release.
Okay.
And this year's event was called Bring Your Own Beanie. So it's more like a pop-up shop / hangout than a party.
Yeah.
I'm not like the beer only event kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of the socialize and whatever else kind of event. So with that event, people just bring whatever hat they already have, and I have my sewing machine with me, and I turn their hat into an arsenic hat.
Sick.
Free of charge.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
How do you like doing the like pop-up events? Is that like a thing you want to keep doing? I mean, you've always done them.
Yeah, I just did one actually 2 days ago at the Champlain College Rail Jam.
Okay.
And I love it because primarily my sales are online.
Yeah.
And the best part of that is the customer notes.
Yeah.
Because that's as much interaction as I get with the customer.
Yeah.
Who they're my friends.
Yeah.
But when I do a pop-up, there's FaceTime and there's the conversation, and I get to see how they react to my product.
Yeah.
And just catch up with them too about their plans for the season and what they've been up to and things like that. And
yeah,
I'm definitely an extrovert, and that type of energy just like fills me up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm a little conflicted, I think, myself, like whether I'm extroverted or introverted, because I like to do this kind of shit. I like to interact with people, but I also don't like to explore new interactions with people all the time. It's like, yeah. I know a lot of people, and like for the most part, unless I'm like really excited to meet someone, I've met the people I need to meet, you mm-hmm. know, for a lot of things, I think. But then I look at it and I'm like, you're a fucking asshole, you know? Like, just meet new people, well, just say hi, you know?
The beauty of it is you don't have to define yourself as one or the other. You can fall somewhere within there. And it can be different times and different moments that you feel introverted or extroverted, and that's all good. You don't have to be one or the other.
I will say, I think people definitely, like, feel a certain attachment to the brand because of the way you connect with the customers. You're always like looking for a reason to reach out to them, or a reason for somebody to post stuff about what they got from you, or a reason to share. Even on when you send like the little sticker that comes with it and you put a little note on the back of the sticker, it's like a lot of people wouldn't even notice, you know, the back of a sticker.
Yeah.
Right? They just peel it off and throw it away. But you took the time to actually write like a little blurb to people in a lot of cases. So I think that's
every
cool
case.
Too. In every case. I didn't want to say every case without knowing. I just know in my case.
I don't know how many orders I've gotten, but every single one came with a thank you note.
How has the product changed over 10 years? Like, how has what you wanted to create changed?
The product has diversified, I think, is the best way to say it. Because when I started, it was a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest place to start.
Yeah.
And then after that, I made a hoodie, and then I did a beanie, and then I did some hats, and I grew and grew and grew from there. And this fall, I dropped a denim jacket. I've dropped a 3-season coat with a packable hood. I have pants, all kinds of hats, all kinds of shirts.
Right.
Just a backpack that I did in a collaboration with a brand called Hemetic that's out of Burlington.
Okay.
So the product has expanded, and it's cool to have the connections I've built over the years to be able to do that.
Yeah, so you spend a lot of time, it seems like, in Burlington, or at least you have a big base in Burlington, as far as customers go. Why? I mean, you're not from Burlington, right?
Right. I'm from Albany, New York, but I went to UVM,
okay,
which is in Burlington. Yeah, so yeah. I was there when I started Arsenic my freshman year. So
there's a lot of people that stay in town.
My home is Albany, but Arsenic's home is Burlington.
That's a good way to put it. And Burlington's a great spot too. Like it's I think it's one of the best places to be in New England. I mean, I can't think of a ton more. Definitely not Boston. I hate Boston, by the way. That's not like the sports teams, not any of the other shit. I just hate the way the city is laid out. Like, did you notice that when you're driving out? Well, it's just like there's fucking shit going X and right and left and up, and you're just like,
yeah.
You can't even use GPS in town.
There's no grid system.
No grid system. Like, Salt Lake, one of the things, like, Emmett was telling me, and I was like kind of giving him shit because I was like, I don't know if the grid system makes sense. Like, I don't know if I fully get it, but now that I've like looked at this, like from that perspective, where you don't know where you're going, it's like it makes no fucking sense. It's like there was like streets named A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
Like just A, B, C, D. And I'm like, what the fuck is A, B, C, D?
Well, you're better off with that because the letters aren't going to repeat. But when you start driving around other places in Boston, and like then all of a sudden you're not in Boston, now you're in Mendon or you're Cambridge or in Somerville, they all have the same street names. Like, oh, now I'm on left on Everett, right on Maple.
Yeah, truly. It's like they just like made a bunch of shit up and just threw it at Boston so it could be more like of an actual city. Like, I really don't get it. I don't like it. I need I wish I had a little more power to change any of that shit. But
you're lost entirely in this city. But in Utah, as long as you can count, you can get where you're going, because it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Dude, my
six.
Phone died and I didn't know where I was going and I didn't have a charger and I found my way home. Like, no bullshit. Like, I truly found my way home just fine. Like, you're able to, like, it makes logical sense. In this shit, you're gonna end up in the fucking ocean if you do that. Like, it's not gonna work. Like, it's crazy. Yep. So how was the show today?
The expo was different than anything else I had ever experienced.
Yeah.
As far as like a convention type thing related to skiing, I've only been to SIA, and that is more closed off to the public, I'd say.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're there, you're with people who are living and breathing skiing.
Yeah.
And my impression of this was it was more people who are more casual skiers, enthusiasts, weekend warrior types. Like, I was surprised by that because I didn't know that about this event. So I didn't have that expectation.
Yeah. I will say it's, one, you're right. I mean, you're definitely right. Like, it is the casual skier. It's not the hardcore people. I don't know why. Like I was telling you earlier, like, there's not a real reason to go here. Like, if you know anyone in the industry, like, it's not that good of a deal. The ski deals are not that good. I've said this before on the show, and I, like, feel like I'm shitting on the show, but it's Boston. Like, it's people in the immediate Boston area, yeah, and Western Mass come up, and I guess New York. I mean, I met people from everywhere today, but it's a bit of a shit show of a show, for sure. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you saw the lines for beers and the lines for, like, yeah, watching the trampoline people. It's just like, what is going on? And people, like, grabbing skis and getting, yeah, on the tee. Like, you're just like, oh.
Well, it's great that this show goes on, so those people who aren't diehard have something accessible to them. And, you know, obviously there's a huge population around Boston and people willing to travel here for it.
Yeah.
So as far as what it does for the sport, making it that much more accessible, it's a great thing. But for people like you and I,
yeah,
we have these opportunities already, or we've determined it's that important that we can seek them out.
And yeah,
it doesn't seem as challenging for us.
This is the first time you've been to the show, huh?
Yeah.
Why this year? Why was this year the year?
I just was I had planned to go to Burlington because of that rail jam the other day, and then the snow fell, so I got to hit some street spots.
Sick.
And then I was like, you know, the Pats are playing this weekend. I could go to my dad's house. He lives back towards Worcester, but instead of doing a up and back from Burlington to Albany, I decided to make it a little loop and come around this way, and this was another reason to make it worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's a bit weird, I think. So for people that don't know, like, our listener base actually isn't very good in Boston. It's okay in Boston, but it's definitely not a top city for us by any stretch of the imagination. So it's just a show in the middle of, like, the Seaport World Trade Center. And basically people just come in and walk around, and all the mountains are there, and there's ski brands there, and you can buy stuff at a mild discount, and that's it, basically.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
the whole
welcome
thing.
Week at college with all the local
companies
trying to get you to support them.
Yeah, and then you have, like,
skiing focused.
The occasional, like, solar panel company and, like, random that, like, pulls you in off the street. There's also, like, one of those face glue companies. You see that? Like, to fix your wrinkles and shit.
Yeah, I saw some unique companies for this, but they're here.
I mean, whatever. Anyway, so moving on from this stupid show.
You said that there weren't too many listeners in Boston. That means you know where your listeners are.
Yeah.
Where are people?
So we do really well in Vermont. We do really well in Colorado. Mostly so I don't know how it tracks it by city. Like, I don't know how specific it is. Like, like we said, like, Boston has like 40 subsets of city, you know, like that's probably picked up on it. So Boston as a whole, like Massachusetts as a whole, does really well for us, but Boston is not a top 10 for us. So Albany is big for us. Denver's huge. Tahoe's really big. Portland is actually pretty big.
Cool.
Montreal, pretty big.
Nice.
Those are like the top 5, 6, something like that. So it's cool. I have no idea like why Boston's the way it is, but I think part of it is like most people in Boston, I don't know, it's hard to say that. I feel like a lot of people in Boston are the casual skier.
Yeah, the people in Boston went to the ski expo today. They didn't listen to your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did get like quite a few like, hey, I know you're the podcast guy. But like, I think that kind of comes with the territory. And it's also, I think you probably get this too, because you're an internet guy, like in a certain sense. You're a real person too, obviously. But you
strictly internet.
you have a following on the internet. So like when people see you in real life, it's just a different interaction. It's like, hey, I know you. And this is like, I feel like I know you, but now you're here and I don't really know you. I feel like it's a weird interaction for people. So I feel like people even saying hi is a weird thing. I like it, but
I've never had a bad experience with that. I've actually only had one person who really seemed like starstruck almost, like couldn't make the words that were in their heart.
Yeah.
Everybody else has actually seemed really comfortable and then just excited to see me in person, because chances are we had already talked on DM or whatever somewhere else on the internet.
Yeah.
So we have this little bit of rapport with each other where they understand I'm a human.
Yeah.
And I think that just makes things a lot easier.
Do you have a lot of internet friends? Like people you don't know in real life?
I don't define them as internet friends anymore.
They're just real friends?
I've felt that way since like before Instagram, before Facebook really was as big as it was right before Instagram, like since 2010 probably.
Mm.
If we were friends on New Schoolers, we were friends. It didn't matter if we had met yet.
Yeah.
We had more in common with people I knew in real life.
Yeah. It's true. That's a good point, actually. And I don't even mean it in a bad way. I just, no, they're internet friends. Like, to me, it's like, I think it's funny. Like, a buddy of mine that I met on the internet, not like, you know, met him on the internet because, like, he ran Ski Sundown's social for a while and, like, was just kind of like, he ran the park crew.
Was it Jake?
No. Wow, I'm blanking on his name right now. He's going to murder me, Jared.
Jared, okay.
So Jared ran their stuff for a while, and I knew him really well, but I didn't, like, through the internet, but I didn't know. So, like, now every time he comes to the shop, every time I see him, it's like, hey, internet friend, how are you? And I'm just like,
yeah,
what's up, dude? Like, I've known you for, like, 10 years now. Like, but it's, we can stop being internet friends, but we can be real friends. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, and I don't think that anyone intends for that to be a bad thing. I just leave it off because I don't want someone who maybe perceives themselves as an internet friend with me.
Yeah, it feels like
a piece is missing. To me, it feels like a piece is missing, I guess.
Yeah, the personal connection in real life is a little, it's different, but it's the same.
Yeah.
So it's all what it is. So you hosted Wendell's this year.
Yeah.
like for a week. That's crazy.
That was beyond a dream come true, dude. My dream was to go to, like, when I was,
yeah.
I fell in love with skiing as much as I did, kind of late compared to most. I was like 17 before I even really started skiing park. So I found out about Wendell's then.
Right.
And I graduated high school and I was like, all right, so I have to either go to Wendell's or buy a laptop so I can go to college.
Right.
I had, you know, so I missed out. And then after that, it's kind of like, I'm 20. I don't think I could really go to Wendell's as a camper. They do have the adult session, but didn't seem like the right option for me.
Yeah.
And then for my first Wendell's experience, to be asked there as a guest pro and host a session.
That's your first time there ever. That's crazy. I thought you'd been before and they like asked you to go back. And like,
this is my first time skiing Hood in the summer. I've been spring, but like my first Wendell's experience was pro host with Alex Hackle, Mr. Mango, Ahmet Didali. I shouldn't have been anywhere near the same line of them. Like if it was a music festival, they would be like the big names on top, and the big letters, and like I would be the smallest little text at the bottom.
Yeah. But
somehow we hosted the same session.
That's crazy. Mm. What was that like?
I was the happiest camper that week.
I'm sure. I can't imagine something like that where you like, because Wendell's is that kind of thing where you're like, especially when you're younger, you don't really understand like the whole travel aspect. You're like, people ski in the summer. Like, people do this in the summer. Like, how can I do this in the summer? You know, mm-hmm. See all the videos that come out and you're like, this looks so fun. It can't be real. This has to be a magical place, you know? Mm-hmm. So what was the camp as a whole like? What was your favorite part of the whole week other than just like being excited to be there?
The best thing about it for me was, it comes back to how I got there in the first place, because I didn't deserve to be there. Like my skiing is nowhere near the level of the people I was there with.
Yeah.
But my role in the community, like, you know, I'm friends with a lot of kids and it got people excited to go.
Yeah.
And my friend Joey, who was working marketing for them and is the pro host out there, he's done that, I think, 3 seasons now.
Yeah.
He was in the ear of Jason Ahrens, who's like the head of marketing out there, and picks the pro hosts.
Mm.
He's like, you know, Talty Dan would be a good option for this. And Jason's like, I don't, like, maybe he was into it, maybe he wasn't, but I know Joey was like really backing me.
Yeah.
And he was able to make it happen for me. And, you know, February or March rolled around and Jason sent me a text and asked me if I wanted to do it. I was like, yeah, of course. So fast forward and I land in Portland and Joey's the pro host, one of my best friends. He picks me up in the Wendell's van and I just like get to hang out with one of my best friends for like an amazing week.
That's crazy. So for people who haven't skied Hood in the summer, it's a very unique experience. Like Govey Camp is a unique experience as a whole. Just that in itself, never mind the skiing. Like skiing is just, it's so much fun. It's warm. It's exactly what you would expect.
Yeah.
I mean, in every way.
Skiing in the summer.
Yeah.
That's the best part is because normally you wouldn't be able to ski at all, and that's what we all want to do, right?
Yeah, all the time. You want to be able to ski all the time. Yeah. It's kind of an insane event, or it's kind of an insane place, because like you can do everything. It truly is like the Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest is truly like the spot where you can do. I mean, there's a few other places like that, but I mean, you can do everything. You can ride bikes, you can do summer shit, and you literally like it's just right off the hill.
Yeah,
glacier life, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregon Forest, Mount Hood National Forest is one of my favorite places in the world, hands down.
It's beautiful. It's something special for sure. Fuck, that's so crazy. Let's do some questions here because we got a lot of them. I have a feeling it's going to start to get louder and louder and louder in here. Although we're looking good right at the moment. All right, you got a question.
Yeah, I got a question from my friend Laura Obermeyer. She wanted to know what my favorite memory from Kimbo Sessions was. So for those of you who don't know, Kimbo Sessions is a private park event that takes place in Sweden, hosted by Kim Boberg. And in my realm of skiing, like all of the most amazing pro skiers get invited out to that. And I weaseled my way in this year by sending a message over to Kim being like, hey, I really want to make it there. I would love to help you with social and just keep content going for you, so it's one less thing you have to worry about. And you know, I think I could do a good job, whatever. Just like trying to figure out my way in, and that was my best shot. And miraculously, it worked. He was like, "Yeah, I'm down for that, Dan. That sounds good." But I feel bad. I can't pay you. I'm like, dude, you do not have to pay me. Are you like, I'm booking my flight right now. See you there. So I get out there, and it's like, this is just some of the hit list. Like, Tanner Hall is there that week.
Yeah, that's enough right
Phil
there.
Phil Casabon is Jesus there that week. Christ. Henrik Harlow is there that week. Fuck. Bobby Brown is there that week.
That's nuts.
And name 30 or 40 or I think 60 more people.
Yeah.
Like, Joss is there.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Yeah. It's just the most ridiculous lineup of skiers, and I'm there somehow.
Mm.
Again, like, totally out of place like I was for the pro session at Wendell's, but managed to find my way in. And for those of you that don't know me, when I'm skiing, there's only one trick that I do. It's a lip slide blind 270 out. And I'm looking at the Kimbo Sessions Park, and this is big dog status. This is like...
It's not small.
Large. Yeah. Large features. It's for the advanced skier, for sure, which I don't count myself as one. Yeah. So I'm looking at this and like, how am I supposed to do the only thing that I do anywhere here? And there was one feature specifically that... It was possible. And it's also like the classic Kimbo feature. It's this up rail with a knuckle, so you kind of float over it and you go, it's like the no gravity zone is what it looks like.
Wow.
So I have 5 days to figure this out. And I don't like to ski fast, but this is like a 30-foot up tube and you have to haul into it.
Yeah.
Way faster than I've ever skied. So I'm scared. I'm very scared. And then, you know, there's everything else going on. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as far as running his Instagram and whatnot and hanging out with friends and enjoying myself. But this is weighing on my conscience that I really want to accomplish this. So whatever, I make progress, and one day I'm trying, and Phil Casabon comes over to me. and he says, Tall T, and I can't do a French Canadian accent. So I'm gonna stop trying now. And he basically inquires, you know, he knows what's going on because it is the only trick that I do. I call it the only trick in the world. He says, "You're going for the lip on blind too," and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "You got this, dog."
Jesus Christ! Did that make you shit your pants more?
I get chills when I tell this story, dude.
Yeah,
and it's not even over yet. I'm like, all right, like, cool. That's a legend.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm trying to get my lip slide. I'm trying to be going fast enough, because if you don't have your speed fast enough, you kind of catch the knuckle. Yeah. And I was starting to have that problem where now I'm trying my blind two, but I'm catching the knuckle with, you know, my rotation incomplete and falling.
Yeah.
And then Phil starts lap. It's like a rope toe, and he starts lapping the rope toe and hitting the same feature as me and doing lip on blind twos. And it wasn't in the, like, you know, like if you're trying to get a trick and someone like takes your trick and does it.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah, this is Phil Casbon.
This was Phil Casbon. And, yeah. And for those that have never had the pleasure of meeting him in person, he's otherworldly. And it might be because I'm a huge fan, but when I was in his presence, he feels like he's an elevated being in a sense.
Oh, for sure.
The way he talks to you, it's just like has this kind of glow to it. And I don't know. I know glow is a visual thing, but imagine that in sound, and that's the way he speaks.
Yeah.
Like his being floats through his words. I hope he hears this and he knows how I feel about him.
I don't know if he listens, dude. To this point, exactly, like, even the way he texts, I was like, I'm texting Phil Casabon right now. And we were just like, I met him at IF3, and I was just like, this is fucking crazy. And he knew I was already, and I was just like, this is a fucking weird thing. Like, this is a very, but you're right, his aura, like, kind of, like, is around him a little bit. It is an aura, for sure.
So, he just starts doing lip-on blind twos, and they're amazing, of course, with so much style. And I know that the reason that he is doing that is to show me how it's done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he has no, like, he was probably, you know, working on some other stuff, and now all of a sudden he's lapping the same feature, doing what I'm trying to do. Like, every single hit.
Yeah.
Every single hit. Like, I don't know for how long, and I'm just seeing it. And then I get to the top another time, and we're on opposite laps, so I haven't been communicating with him. I'm just witnessing his grace while attempting myself and generally failing. I get up one time, and Henrik is at the top of the feature this time, and Henrik has similar things to say to me as Phil did, where he's like, you're gonna get that lip on blind two, dog, you're gonna get that, and he's just like encouraging me, and he's done a nose butter triple.
Yeah.
I don't hit jumps. This man has X Games medals galore, but he took the time to encourage me to achieve what, like, for me is my X Games gold medal, is like friggin' doing the trick I like to do on the significant feature at Kimbo Sessions, and he took time out of his experience to encourage me.
Yeah.
And then two tries later I got it.
Sick. That's awesome.
And it was very special for guys that I regard so highly to give me encouragement, each in their own way. Yeah. And I was very flattered that they cared for what I was trying to do.
It's even acknowledgement from those guys. Like, sometimes when you're in the room with people like that, that are like truly legendary, especially in this industry, it just feels different being around them. Like, and you can feel like you're so intimidated. You're so in your own head thinking about like these people, but for them to be encouraging you is like a different thing. Like, that's so, and it's also like shows you the awareness that they have of how you might be feeling in these situations.
Yeah.
To like take the time out to acknowledge you and be like, yo, like this is,
I felt no, like when I first got there, I felt no different than when I first started trying to ski park. When you show up and you know other people are better than you, and you're worried perhaps about how they might perceive you when you fall, and in reality, no one actually is going to like, wow, that kid sucks. No one's going to think that, but that's how your self-consciousness about it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And by the end of this week, these 60 legends that I had the absolute pleasure of being around, they're all my friends. Tanner Hall called me Tall T Dan. He was calling, like, we were hanging out, like, you know, after skiing, he was calling me Tall T. Like, my best friends call me Tall T.
That's nuts. That's so crazy.
And I had those type of experiences with every amazing skier that was there. And it's such a wonderful, amazing event. And I really hope I get to go back.
That's probably a good thing for a lot of people to hear, because they always say, like, you don't want to meet your heroes, but, like, I think in this industry, you can meet them.
I've, since I've had the opportunity to start meeting skiing legends,
yeah,
like, the first one I can really remember in my eyes was, like, Ian Compton.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, Andy Perry and Will and Liam Downey. And I've, since those experiences, I've said skiing is the only sport, industry, activity where legends can become friends.
Yeah, it's true. I talked about this with Stan, Ray, and Alexi. Like, I was like, dude, like, imagine, like, just being at an event and looking next to you and, like, LeBron James is there. You know? It's like, think about it like that.
That's
like,
it.
And they're just like, well, I don't know if we're LeBron James. Like, I know you guys can't say that about yourselves, but, like, you guys are in this, like, these guys are, in any pro in this industry, it's like meeting an NBA player. It's like, you meet any NBA player, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, look at how tall he is, first of all. But, like, second of all, like, this is so crazy. And, like, in skiing, because it's a smaller community and everything's a little more tied together, it's,
you're gonna cross paths.
If you're in the industry long enough.
Yeah, if you take this on fully, you're gonna either go to Hood in the spring, or you're gonna make a trip to Brighton or Park City, or, you know, whatever it may be. You stop at a telefriend tour stop. Somewhere along the way, you're gonna encounter someone you regard so highly, and they're gonna be incredibly down to earth and ready to be your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the best things about the industry. It's like, I complain about a lot of shit, but I think that's one thing that I can't really ever complain about. It's like the accessibility of, like, people that other people look up to, especially as kids. Because I think when you're in those years, that, like, 12 to 17 years, like, that's when you're really developing who you want to be going forward. Like, that's starting, like, those seeds get planted then. So if a pro's like, fuck off, kid, you know, or, like, doesn't want to talk to you, or, like, you meet this guy and you're like, what a bummer. That says a lot to people over the long haul. All right, we're back. My pause button skills are on fire. Yeah, I think it's a really cool thing for people to be able to meet their heroes. I think it's a great thing. I really do.
Absolutely.
All right, I got a couple more questions for you.
Thank you for that question, Laura. It was a pleasure telling that story and getting to really relive those moments.
That's still so crazy to me that, like, you get that opportunity. Like, that's awesome. And I think that's the thing. One of the good things that comes out, one of the many good things from that, is you kind of show that, like, you kind of just got to reach out for stuff sometimes.
Oh,
you
got to
ask for stuff. Like, people don't get that.
Well, here's the way that I look at things often, or when I, you know, when I encounter friends who might be in situations where this is relevant, I'll say, if I never asked Kim, I wouldn't have gone to Kimbo sessions, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely what would have happened. But if I ask Kim, I either don't go or I do go, which means I have nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's true.
So I shot a shot and, you know, I had enough credibility with friends of his that he was willing to take that chance with me. So if there's something that you want, and it's a yes or a no, you might as well ask.
Just shoot. And that's the thing, too, is, like, I think everybody wants, like, that premium level job in this industry. Like, they want to know, how do you get to be at this point or that point or the other point? You just got to do enough stuff. Like, you don't get paid for a lot of shit that you do. Like, a lot of the opportunities that you get, like, I mean, I've said yes to a shit ton of things that I didn't get paid for, that I just got the opportunity to do, and I ended up in this awesome place, and, like, you're here, and you're just like, what is going on right now, you know? So it's I think that's kind of a lesson for people. Like, you don't always need to get paid. You just gotta experience is payment.
Absolutely. Well, experience is the real reward regardless.
Yeah.
Because the money is gonna come and it's gonna go, but the memory won't.
All right. We got a couple questions here that I think are good ones, and then we'll wrap it up and we'll go do this party thing. Owen _ Cargill wants to know, predict what some of the trends in skiing will be, the upcoming trends in skiing.
In my realm of skiing, I am seeing already a wonderful trend, which ties into the last time we spoke, where I wanted to see more movies.
Yeah.
And this season, there's been like five times as many.
Yeah.
And I think...
Good ones, too.
Great ones.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. And I sort of... This is just from my perspective, but I felt like Instagram took away from the cruise of skiing.
Yeah.
Like, if you trace back, it's like 4x9 and Stepped and The Bunch. And there's these crews over the years because pre-Instagram, you needed the power of numbers to get the attention.
Mm.
And post-Instagram, like, or during Instagram, you just needed yourself. Like, you don't post other people skiing on your own Instagram account, usually.
Yeah, some people do.
So now crews are coming back into it, and these movies are coming out, and people are coming up together. Like, my favorite group of kids right now out of Finland, their crew name is Fora. I'm putting an accent there. I think that's how it's pronounced, but I'm not sure. And it's like 6 or 7 or 8 kids. They just put out their second full movie.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
And I think together they'll have a lot of success. And I'm seeing that in other places as well, and I'm really excited about it.
Mm.
So as far as the trend, I think the crew is coming back, and with that we'll be seeing more longer form video.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know how much I agree with the longer form video thing. I think it's happening this year. I don't think it's going to happen every year. So what I think is going to happen, and a lot of people are doing this, is you're going to just start seeing more content. You know, you're going to start mm-hmm. seeing more video content, like high quality content.
Right, right, right.
Because there was a time when there was a lot of stuff on YouTube, there was a lot of stuff everywhere that's just not, it's just kind of shit on the internet. And now you're starting to see, like, people take real care into the production quality of a lot of the stuff mm-hmm. that they're doing.
It's getting refined.
It's getting refined. It's getting dialed in. It's getting put together extremely well to the point where, like, all your favorite ski videos are going to be on YouTube now, you know? Like, they're going to... And they are. They're getting released on the internet. There are long-form videos. And I think it's going to happen, too. Like, but I don't think they're going to be, like, time-framed, you know? Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, fall release of movies. I think there's just going to be, like, shit comes out the way a normal movie comes out.
Yeah, I vibe with that. And when I say long-form, I don't necessarily mean, like, we're going to see feature-length ski movies again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to watch a 50-minute film myself. But I mean more than 59 seconds on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. That I would like that because that shit pisses. Even Instagram wants that shit. I mean, Instagram TV is
there
for a reason.
Yeah, IGTV, Sivir Vol just released what it equates to a season edit on IGTV, and it was amazing. If you didn't see it, definitely look it up, Sivir Vol. And if you did see it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we all loved it because it gave us as much as we wanted because there's not enough, and it's not as composed as it needs to be in less than a minute.
Yeah.
You know, that's like one day or 2 days at a hill, and that's great, and I love to see it. But seeing the whole body of work is amazing to me.
Yeah, the way it comes together, I think, is super important. Yeah, that's true.
Great question, Owen. Thank you.
Great question, Owen. A for the day. All right, this is the last question, and then we're going to move on with our lives. I don't know how to say this name. Dan.Farbaniak_304.
Mm-hmm.
After the beginning of Arsenic, how long did it take for the brand to really take off? Mm. How long did the brand take to actually?
I guess that depends on how you're going to define take off. Because if you showed my numbers to like a business person, they'd be like, oh, you're almost there. You know?
Mm.
This isn't like a wildly successful business venture. This is a wildly successful passion project.
Yeah.
The way I would answer that question in terms of my own, I guess, achievement levels is I'd say it started to take off right after I graduated college. So, the year after I graduated college, I moved to California, and I got to meet a lot of people and ski with all of my time, and that opened up more opportunities.
Mm.
So by the end of that season, which would have been the end of the fifth year of Arsenic, I feel like I was in a better position, and more people were wearing my stuff, and that was like the true catalyst for where I am now today.
Yeah.
Like that spring, I sent a box to Hood for 10 Swedish guys that were staying in an inn. And those guys are the bunch. And they were wearing my clothes after that. And we were all just friends, but that, you know, that helps a lot from a marketing perspective. You know, those guys get paid to wear stuff now.
Yeah.
And then at the same token, like, War of Rails was still a thing, and I was living in Big Bear. Some of the 4x9 guys came through, and, like, Crazy Carl was wearing one of my hats after that. And obviously he's a big name now. So that's when things really started to take off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And I think there's something to that, too, and I think that means a little more because, like, you wear shit, especially when you get to a certain point, like, as a pro or whatever, you wear shit that you want to wear, but you also wear the shit that you get paid for. So, like, them wanting to wear that shit is big. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's really, it's flattering, and also I consider myself super lucky because it's never, I'm never trying to put my clothes on somebody for that reason. I'm lucky enough that I have friends who are that talented and in those positions who want to wear the clothes that I make, and, you know, they get the clothes that they want to wear from me, and I get that association with their success and their ability, and it's, you know, I'm just really lucky and grateful that I have so many talented and supportive friends. Really, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, by myself, like, no one really wants to wear the shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah. They don't want the one off your back. Yeah. Maybe they do, though.
It's too big for them.
Yeah, it is definitely a tall tee. Awesome. Well, appearance number two, Tall T Dan. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can people find you in real life?
On the internet, your best bet is at Tall T Dan on Instagram. Or if you're interested in my brand, www.arsenicanywhere.com. And then in real life, you can find me hitting your local down rail when there's snow in the streets. Other than that, I can't really say where I'm going to be.
Cool. That's awesome. Appreciate doing this, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah. That was episode number 80. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I did. And let me know who else you want to see on the show, because I'm working on getting some new guests, and we're doing a trip out somewhere pretty soon. I'll talk more about that later in the week. So I need some suggestions. I need some suggestions for guests. I need some suggestions for things you guys want me to talk about. I'm going to start doing some other stuff with the intro and the outro pretty soon. And there's some cool stuff coming down the pipeline for sure. If you have comments, questions, concerns, whatever, shoot me a DM on Instagram at Out of Podcast. If you would like to send me a more technical question or whatever, send me an email, adam@outofpodcast.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, YouTube, whatever the other thing is, Instagram. And that's it. And leave us a 5-star review. That's really the main thing. On iTunes, if you can, if you get the chance, please do. iTunes, leave a 5-star review and a rating. And that's it. That was episode 80. God, that's crazy. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week with potentially Ian Compton.